The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We're going to read verses 31 and 32. We're reading from the King James Bible. And let's read together in unison, shall we? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for church. Thank you for the Word of God. Please meet with us, the Holy Spirit of God. Speak to our hearts. Bless. Lord, I pray that you lift fallen spirits, lift burdens, bless those who are hurting, please. Help us, help this to be a help, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Luke 22, verse number 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I'm going to talk to you this morning about Satan wants to destroy you. Amen. Satan wants to destroy you. In Job, pay attention, you don't have to turn there, but in Job chapter number 1, the Bible says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. If you know the story, Job, if not the richest man, obviously one of the richest men of his time, lost all possessions that he ever had. Sheep, you just named all his animals. All his children were killed. The only thing Satan didn't take from Job was his wife, who said, dost thou still He loved God. And Satan wants to destroy you too. You know what Job said? Blessed be God. Amen. It's God given. God's taken away. I came naked. I'm leaving naked. Blessed be God. Well, I would hope that that could be your testimony if you lost everything in life. All your material wealth. All your children. Your friends. Could you say, blessed be God. God hath given, God hath taken away. In Job chapter number 2, the Bible says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, you know, Satan, the devil's not in hell, ladies and gentlemen. He's walking on the earth, the Bible is very clear about that, seeking whom he may devour. And so Satan says, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So if you know the story of Job, he got boils from the bottom of the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, putrefying souls, and just he was just a mess. And still, Job didn't curse God. But Satan brought his three friends to criticize him while he was in this mess. Satan left his nagging wife behind so she could trouble him all his days, saying, curse God and die. Look at you. You're a mess. It was good when the money train was flowing. It was good when she could go buy anything she wanted and have anything she wanted. But as soon as she lost that from Job, you can see her love for Job was very superficial. That's what people do a lot of times when you're sick and elderly, or even when you're handicapped. They just shove you off, put you in a nursing home somewhere, and go find someone else because, you know, just too much trouble to help my wife or my husband in time of need. It's too much trouble to help my parents in time of need. But that's the generation that you and I live in. Our love is too superficial today. I remember I went to Greece in 1968 for the first time. I was 11 years old. And you understand, if you think times were different here in 1968, you're talking about like you're almost 500 years ago in Greece in 1968. They didn't have any electric or running water in the village homes where I stayed, in my mom's home village where she was born in. They had one light bulb. It was in the county store. The village store, one light bulb, one electric line, and one telephone, and that was in the village store. And if anybody called from America, she'd come out of that store, and she'd yell up in the mountaintops to so-and-so towards the home, hey, you have a phone call from Greece, you're calling back in about 10 minutes or whatever, or 15 minutes or 30 minutes. You'd call first to let people know that you're going to call again, because it takes quite a while to get off the mountain to get to the main road to wait for that phone call. I mean, this is how backwards they were still there. And we took an 8mm. I don't know what it was back then, you know, but, you know, the silent movies. You remember silent movies at all? The ones you had to put the film in and wind up and stuff like that. Yeah, what was it? 16mm? I don't know what it was. Anyway, I remember we took video of that, or whatever it was we called it back then, movies. We called it home movies, and we've lost it since then. But I still remember watching my eye, God-given eyeball, where we got out on the edge of this dirt road, and there was a woman down below around the mill where, I don't know if it was a horse or an ass walking around grinding the seeds and stuff like that, you know, and it would come out in a big bundle. And this woman, I kid you not, long dress, head covering everything, long sleeves, out there with a pitchfork, taking that seed, whatever it was, with the chaff and just throwing it up in the air. And as the wind came by, it would blow the chaff away and the seed would fall. What she was doing, she was sifting the wheat or whatever barley or whatever grain it was. So she would take that pitchfork or whatever instrument it was. It looked like a pitchfork. And again, I was like about 200-300 yards away, best I could tell. And she would go into it and just, that's all she did for, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 minutes, an hour. I don't know how long she was doing it. We sat there for 5 or 10 minutes watching her and taking these movies. And she would go in there and just keep doing that until the wind blew all the chaff away and nothing was left but the seed, whatever grain it was. You know, after it was in the mill, it cracked and it all gathered together. She was just sifting, letting the wind sift it. Well, that's what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to grind you down and destroy you if he can. Peter was a good man. He was saved. He loved God. And Jesus warned him. He says, Satan wants you. Satan wants to have you. He wants to destroy you. And Jesus said, but I pray for you. He said, when you're converted, I want you to help your brethren, strengthen your brethren, he says. Now, some of you don't realize this, but Satan's trying to destroy you. And you can't see past the battle that you're in right now on the other side, because Satan doesn't want you to see the potential that you have. You see, Satan knew the potential that Peter had. And after the resurrection, after Peter got right with God, Peter preached a sermon where 3,000 people got saved and baptized in the same day without a discipleship class, without baptism classes. 3,000 people got saved and baptized in one day. You're going through a battle right now because Satan does not want you to reach your potential to reach people for Jesus Christ. So when you're going through a battle, you have to realize it's not somebody else that you're against. It's Satan that is trying to fight you and destroy you to get your mind off the most important thing, the Lord Jesus Christ and the winning of souls. So when we go through these Bible verses this morning, I want you to remember that Satan is trying to destroy you, your marriage, your children, your family, your church, your society. He's trying to destroy everything he can about you so that you cannot be used of God and be almost worthless while you're living. But Jesus sees the potential that each of you have. And if he prayed for Peter, I'm sure, and as we said in Hebrews, I preached a sermon on that months or years ago, that Jesus is praying for you also, amen. And you may forget that Jesus is praying for you, but he loves you and he's still praying for you. Even in the battle, even when you're struggling, even when it seems like nothing's going, can you imagine Job? Can you imagine Job going through what he's going through? He lost everything he ever worked his entire life for, but he still blessed God. He lost. Can you imagine burying all your children one day? Can you imagine being so sick that people look at you and didn't even recognize it was Job when his three friends came up to him? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 5, the Bible talks about delivering such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And if you remember the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, it deals with the people committing fornication, God's people committing fornication, being worldly, no separation from the world, being in illicit relationships, pornography, alcohol, drugs, gambling, stealing, robbing God, lying, being angry, hot-tempered, hatred, loving money instead of loving God, being inconsiderate of others, having a cold heart or selfish and being self-centered. They can't control themselves. They have addictions, as we said in the adult Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 deals with people that were committing fornication. You know why? Because Satan wants to destroy you. One thing, as we said in the adult Bible study, that drink and alcohol and drugs and alcohol lead to sorcery, fornication, adultery, pornography, gambling, and a whole other bunch of vices that it's like an unraveling pit. That is, it's a downward spiral. And it seems when you're in that downward spiral that you can't control yourself and it seems like there's no help. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to think because he wants to destroy you. If he wanted to destroy Peter, he wants to destroy you. You're no different. What's sad is too many people refuse to wait to see the potential that God has for them. You say, well, Pastor, I can't be like what you are. You don't know how I was 40-some years ago when I got saved. It was 40 years ago this coming November where I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul, and I was a mess. My mind was messed up. I was a mess. And if God can use John Kalitas, God can use you. You just can't see it right now because Satan doesn't want you to see it. Said, Pastor, I can't talk like you, and I can't be like you, and I can't do the things. You just be patient, and you just give yourself to God, and be humble enough, and just be willing to surrender to God. And we're all a bunch of sinners, ladies and gentlemen. We still make mistakes and still sin. We all try not to do that on purpose. I'm just saying, we just wear this flesh, this coat of flesh, that sinful, vile flesh, the Bible calls it. God says it's vile. So you and I have to deal with it the best we know how. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, to whom you forgive anything, Paul's writing, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Listen to me good. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Forgiving covers a lot of bitterness. Being merciful covers a lot of hatred. Charity covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. And charity is love in action. So when you love somebody, you forgive somebody, and you're merciful to somebody, it does something to the inside of you to calm your heart towards the things of God. But pride refuses us to forgive others. Not having a forgiving spirit and being wanting to forgive, but yet being bitter or easily angered, lashing out at others, not wanting reconciliation, not willing to discuss problems, not willing to do a self-examination. Paul said to examine thyself. That's what Paul said. We live in such an immature society that people don't want to even examine themselves. So when they're confronted with truth, it bothers them, so they don't want to talk about it. No, I can't deal with it. Well, you know what the Bible says? We ought to be sober-minded. We ought to mature and grow up and be willing to discuss. If it's truthful, if it's honest, if it's right, then we ought to be willing to discuss it, because if we don't, Satan's going to destroy you. Amen. The truth shall make you free. Amen. Hiding from the truth is going to keep you addicted into bondage, into chains, the way Satan wants to destroy you, so that you'll never get out of those chains and be used of God. Colossians chapter number 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, what's things above? How about Bible reading? Or prayer life? Or winning souls? Think about souls, ladies and gentlemen. Think about salvation from hell. See, the devil's trying to get your mind off the most important thing in life, and that's worshiping Jesus Christ. That's winning souls. That's reading your Bible. That's praying. That's loving other people. So if Satan gets your mind off of those things, then he's going to destroy you. When you allow your mind to drift and to concentrate on things on the earth, he's got you. Because if he's got your mind, he'll get your body, he'll get your life. And he wants to destroy you. Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. He wants to reconcile you back to him. Satan wants to get in the middle and fight that as much as he possibly can. And he will use any means possible to do that. Philippians 3:19 says, whose God is their belly. People love their belly. They love their money. They love their money. They love their food. They love their pleasure instead of loving God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, please, if you have your Bibles, turn there. What I'm saying this morning is Satan wants to destroy you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And he can do it in many different ways, as you're about to read here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Starting at verse number 13. The Apostle Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If Satan can destroy you by some religious leader who can smile real good and talk real good and use smooth words, he's going to use that to destroy you. I know you probably get sick and tired of hearing this, but I'll say it one more time. Amen. If any English-speaking pastor or minister does not know that the King James Bible is the Word of God, Satan is using that individual. If Satan was using Peter, then Satan using that individual for sure. If Satan uses us to destroy each other, to bicker or murmur or gossip, he is for sure using somebody who's a theologian or a scholar or a minister who doesn't even know that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Say, Pastor, why is that so important to you? Because if a pastor, the leader of a church, doesn't understand that, my Bible says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light and can appear godly and holy and religious, who won't preach against people's sins, who won't be willing to confront you with truth lovingly, who won't tell you that, look, Satan's trying to destroy your life. Why would you want to be destroyed? No marvel, verse 14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, as I said earlier, I went through the 3 weeks in the adult Bible study for drugs and alcohol. But I want to remind you something. That is the tail end of results of what happens when a person disobeys God. That's not Satan doing that. Listen to me good. That's the tail end and the ripple effect of Satan using a religious minister to tell people it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter who you hang around with. You see, Satan's working in Bible colleges and seminaries. You see, Satan works behind pulpits. You see, Satan works with religious leaders, evangelists or missionaries or people that are well known, and you see them on television, on the radio. You see, they're so good. They speak so well. That's exactly where Satan's working. The rest of that, when they disobey God from that point on, the rest of it you see apostasy. The rest of it you see heresy. Then that apostasy and heresy ends up with drug and alcohol abuse, with murder, suicide, and all that it entails. If he can get religious people, then he's got you. If he can get you to say, well, I just like the way he talks instead of what he says, then he's got you. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers. Now, his ministers are devils. Yes, Satan's ministers are devils. But he says here, verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. My Bible says in Genesis chapter number 3 that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the first thing Satan did in the garden, he questioned everything God said. Yea, hath God said? You really believe what God said? Come on. The first thing he attacked when he went to Eve was, you really believe what God said? And Eve said, no, God said, thou shalt surely die. He said, thou shalt not surely die, he said. He contradicted everything God said to Eve. So when Satan can come to you and make you believe and persuade you to believe everything that's contrary or anything that's contrary to the word of God, he's got you because he wants to destroy you. Hey, John Kalita's is not truth. Grace Baptist Church is not truth. The word of God is truth. Jesus is truth. There's bound to be a time in 31 years and a half that we've been here that I've made mistakes and said things that were not right. I guarantee you that. It's true for any church. But I'll tell you who will never let you down, never be wrong. I'll tell you somebody who will never lie to you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in the King James Bible. My job is to get you to read this book. My job is to persuade you to read this book because I don't want Satan destroying you. I mean, you read all kinds of other filth. You watch all kinds of other movies and videos. You have the time that Satan wants you to get your mind off the truth, off the Word of God. I'm trying to get your mind on the Word of God so Satan doesn't destroy you. The same Peter in Matthew chapter number 16, the Bible says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter's rebuking Jesus. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, because Jesus said he's going to be crucified, you know. He's telling him, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter starts to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, this is one of the 12 disciples that Jesus picked. If Satan's going to try to destroy Peter, who was one of the 12 that Jesus picked, you don't think he's going to try to destroy you? You don't think he's trying to wipe you off the face of the earth so that you can be no good for God? The same story is told in Mark chapter number 8. The Bible says Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Just because we're saved and we come to a good church, that does not mean that God, that Satan is not out to destroy us or not using us. We got to remain humble. We have to have a loving heart, be merciful and kind. Because too many of God's people are being used of Satan to destroy other people. Then people say, "Well, see, the church is full of hypocrites," or, "See, that was a church-going person, you see." Well, you've had burnt toast before, haven't you? But you didn't stop having toast because one slice was burnt. Huh? I'm sure you got some bad product from vegetables and fruits from a supermarket, but you didn't stop buying fruits and vegetables because some fruit or vegetable was sour or ruined. But Satan will use anything that somebody else will say in a church or do to try to ruin you and keep you away from church and keep you away from the Word of God and keep away from loving people. And he'll harden your heart. You and I can be used of Satan just like we can be used of God. I don't want to be used by Satan. I want to be used of God. I want to be a help and a blessing to people. I want to see people getting saved. I want to see people getting reconciled. I want to see people getting right with God. I want to see people loving again who thought that they could never love anything or anyone again. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter number 12, please. Revelation chapter number 12. The last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter number 12. Satan will use anything, drugs, alcohol, women, pornography, gambling, money, pleasures. He'll use any church, religion. If he can get people to go to hell by joining a church or going to a religious service, then he's got you. He wants people to be religious but not saved. He wants people to be members of a church. Satan wants people to be members of a church, but not saved. Amen. They think, "I'm good enough. I'm going to church. I've been baptized." Baptism doesn't save you. Church doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Amen. In Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 10, well, let's go to verse number 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent," you know, the one from the garden, "called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." You don't think he's deceived you and I at times? My Bible says he deceived the whole world. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ.'" Watch this. "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Well, that's what we just read in Job. Job chapter number 1, Job chapter number 2. You know what Satan does? He goes to God to accuse the brethren day and night. He doesn't sleep. He's accusing God nonstop to God about us. And when you do the same thing, you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. Amen. When you're accusing the brethren or church people or brothers and sisters in the Lord of something, instead of stopping to gossip, you ought to love one another. Instead of being critical like that, we'll say, "You know, is there anything I can do to help? Do you need any help? Is there anything I can do? Please let me know." But when you're offstandish and critical or overly judgmental and not really caring with a sincere heart, you're playing into the hands exactly what Satan wants you to do, because that's exactly what he does. He goes to God and accuses the brethren day and night. He doesn't sleep, because he wants to destroy you and anybody that you can criticize or accuse. Take your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. So he's the accuser of the brethren. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And by the way, God knows our weaknesses, but Satan knows our weaknesses also. And that's where he's going to hit us. He's going to hit you at your weakness. For some people, it's women. For some people, it's money. Some people, it's some kind of addiction. Some people it's laziness. Some people it's a lack of empathy. Some people it's being inconsiderate. God knows your weakness, but Satan knows your weakness also, and that's where he's going to hit you. That's why you got to shore up those weak areas. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And no one is immune. I don't care if you're a preacher, Sunday school teacher, junior church, evangelist. I don't care what your status is. No one's immune. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. Be sober. Well, we covered that for the last three adult Bible studies, amen? Being sober. Be sober-minded. So here's what God said. And by the way, this is the same person who's writing this that we're talking about, Peter. See, Satan didn't want a 1st and 2nd Peter written. Satan didn't want 3,000 people getting saved the day of Pentecost. But God did. Amen. Peter wept bitterly when he cursed God and denied Jesus three times. And that's what happens with your sin. You know that's true. If you ever get right with God, you're going to weep bitterly for how you've treated God and everyone else around you. If you ever get right with God, you will weep bitterly because you realize that Satan was using you. And you are a willing accomplice to allow Satan to use you. But thank God Peter got right. And you know, he's writing now. From his past testimony, from his past life, he's writing now to those of us who are going through the same struggles that Peter went through. Don't forget, Peter was religious. He told Jesus, no, you're not going to die. He was trying to defend Jesus. But Jesus came to die. And you may think you're doing something religious, but you better make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. And Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. My Bible says if you resist him, he'll flee from you. That's what the Bible says. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So you're supposed to be sober. When you're not sober, he's got you. Get the three-part series on the adult Bible studies on drug and alcohol. When your mind's gone, your mind's high, you're on some illicit substance, drugs or alcohol, I don't care if it's prescribed or unprescribed, he's got you. Because you're not thinking rationally, you're not thinking straight, you're not thinking soberly. And haven't most of all of us been there, ladies and gentlemen? So what happened? I don't remember last night. Where was I? Was that Kavanaugh or not? You're not going to remember. So he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. A fellow church member is not your adversary. Amen. Your wife or your husband is not your adversary. Your parents or your children are not your adversary. There's someone else trying to pitch you against somebody else. That's your adversary, the enemy. Your coworker is not the enemy. Your boss is not the enemy. The president and the governor is not your enemy. No, the mayor is not your enemy. Your adversary is Satan, who's using those kind of people. So you got to fight him, not the people that you think that you see with flesh and blood. Because he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's going from person to person, church to church, devouring and trying to destroy everything he can because he knows his time is short. And who knows better than Peter? Your enemy's not a person. Your enemy, your adversary, is Satan who wants to destroy you. Peter denied Jesus thrice. He lied, he cursed. He wept bitterly. But after the resurrection, Peter gets right with God. Peter's preaching culminates in 3,000 people getting saved and baptized one day. He writes two epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. The enemy knew Peter's potential, and the enemy wanted to destroy Peter. The enemy knows your potential, and the enemy wants to destroy you before you reach your potential to be a soul winner for Jesus, to be a prayer warrior, to love God, read a Bible, and love people. The enemy does not want you living for God. The enemy does not want you to share the gospel with others. The enemy does not want you coming to church. The enemy does not want you reading your King James Bible. The enemy does not want you to have a consistent prayer life to pray for others and ask the Lord for wisdom for yourself. It happened to Moses. In the book of Psalms, it says, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Remember when he was in the wilderness there? They were going through and he called them a bunch of rebels, and instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. He was supposed to speak to the rock. But the Bible says they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. I was going to give you the reference, but I wrote Psalm 196, and I don't think that's right. Because there's only 150 Psalms in the Bible. It might be 106, I can't remember right now. But people are going to try to provoke your spirit too. Because Satan's probably using them to get to you. I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he hasn't given up on you. He's not forsaking you. He's praying for you. Satan's going to try to sift you like wheat. When the winds of heresy and false doctrines come blowing through, he wants you to pick up a false doctrine and some heresy, because he's going to have you then. Satan wants to destroy you, your mind, your life, and anybody that you come in contact with. Jesus wants you to be reconciled back to him and to others. Amen. It's your choice. It's your choice. At the judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat, we're not going to blame. You're going to think now, you think, well, I'm going to blame so-and-so because they messed up my life. No. No. It's you hearing this sermon ahead of the judgment seat that we're going to stand and give an account one day, knowing that it was Satan all along that was trying to destroy your life. And all we had to do was get right with God. All we had to do was come back to God. All we had to do is start reading our Bible and praying and make a decision, saying, dear God, please, I don't want to be destroyed, and I don't want Satan to destroy me. Please use me. And just humbly ask God for forgiveness and mercy. And guess what? God will bless. And God will answer. And God will use you. Jesus loves you this morning. He loves you more than anyone else on planet Earth can ever love you. Don't lose sight of how much Jesus loves you this morning. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. And most all of us, if not all of us, have played into the hands of our enemy too often. We got upset with somebody, we said something, we did something, somebody ticked us off, someone provoked our spirit. Dear God, the best thing we can do is to humbly ask you to forgive us. The best thing we can possibly do is ask for mercy, to love people the way you love them. I want to thank you for allowing us to live just this long so that we can realize that it's Satan who's trying to destroy us. Not a person, not an individual, not somebody in church or not somebody in our family or not somebody at work or not somebody in politics. It's really Satan that wants to destroy us. And he's destroyed this country pretty good. He's really done a good job destroying this country because we have forsaken you as a country. And too many churches have been destroyed because they have forsaken you. And too many of your people have been destroyed too early because they've forsaken you. Help us not to be counted in that number. Help us to realize that our enemy hates us and wants to destroy us and sift us as wheat. Dear God, please bless this invitation. Meet the needs. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.